I think there is an art in being able to say goodbye well. You're at an airport or watching parents bidding farewell to their teenage son or daughter as they're heading off for the great backpack pilgrimage that so many young people want to do. Or for me, you know, I'm often there in a palliative care ward or an ICU, and the family are gathering because their loved one has now taken a turn for the worst, and the doctors and nurses have told them that this is the time to say goodbye to them. And sometimes, you know, it can be a really awkward kind of moment. People are just not quite sure what to say, how to respond, how to be present. Other times it can be the most extraordinary and beautiful encounter. And I've seen lots of both over the years as I kind of watch and sit and pray with families during this time. That moment of being able to really offer, you know, that sense of being able to say goodbye, to close a chapter on a life. Now, of course, Jesus really had to do it twice, because in the Last Supper, he was able to say goodbye to the disciples, and particularly in the Gospel of John, we call it the farewell discourse. Those four chapters of the Gospel of John, 14, 15, 16, and 17, where he offers that prayer for the disciples, as he offers them the gift of the Holy Spirit, as he tells them that he has to go, because what will happen next is even a more extraordinary gift than they could ever imagine, the gift of the Holy Spirit. But then, after the resurrection, he's back. And so he has to kind of say goodbye again. And it's kind of that awkward moment, you know, when you say goodbye to someone at a party and then realize that you're both walking in the same direction. And so you've got to kind of extend that farewell over a longer period. So Jesus today, as he gathers the community, I mean, Luke tells us it's 40 days, but so we used to celebrate this feast on Ascension Thursday rather than on today, because 40 days was the direct number after the resurrection. But 40, of course, is just one of those numbers that we have in Scripture that refer to, you know, just a long kind of period of time. So the church says, well, you know, you can have it on the Thursday, or you can move it to the Sunday when more people are likely to be able to gather to celebrate this feast. Because we need to mark these times of farewell. We need to mark these transitions in our lives, because this is really the feast of Christ the King. You know, by adding that extra feast at the end of the year, we've kind of, again, muddied the waters about the centrality of what happens on this day. That Jesus, when he ascends to be with the Father, that's the day, the day and the moment when he is indeed crowned, when the Son of Man takes his proper place there in the throne room of heaven, when all of that gift of what he is desiring to do for the church is able to be accomplished, is able to be fulfilled. And of course, all of that happens in the gift of the Holy Spirit. Wait there until you are clothed with power from on high. Wait there until that fullness that is your inheritance, that is your promise, is able to be received by you. Wait there until you're able to gather as a community, until you're able to recognize your need. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons that the Holy Spirit is not really present in our church, that we kind of marginalize the Holy Spirit to kind of cute images of doves or things that don't really make an impact upon our lives. Because it's only when we know our need of God, it's only when we're in that desperate place of recognizing our own limits, that we have that ability to be open, to be vulnerable, to express our need of God. And so I think this period, this week that we have now as we prepare for Pentecost, is a time for us as the church to recognize that need, to express our longing as a community, that we cannot do this alone, that we need that power that clothes us from on high, that we need that love and that mercy that changes our hard hearts into the warm embrace of his love, that we're able to be the people that he longs for us to be. And it's why we need to spend this week in a time of prayer and preparation. We have the novena of the Holy Spirit that we're inviting you, we're inviting us as a community to pray, to really offer ourselves in union with the whole church at this time, recognizing our need to be changed and transformed by His love. But I cannot do this alone. I cannot do this in my own strength or my own power. I need God. I need the gift of the Holy Spirit to fill me, to change me, to soften my heart and allow me to be changed and transformed by His love so that I can be an authentic witness of His life and His love. And so next weekend, we will have an opportunity to pray with people within the parish community. We'll have prayer teams available at 11:30 a.m. so that people can come and just to surrender ourselves to that goodness and to that grace, to let the Lord do that work. It's such a wonderful thing to have other people from the church to pray with us, just to remember that we are not alone in this. I don't have to sort it all out myself. I don't have to solve all of these problems myself. That I can call on brothers and sisters to pray with me, to open my heart, to do some of that work. That I don't have to carry this heavy burden alone. I first experienced prayer ministry more than 30 years ago, and it's been a regular feature of my life. And whenever anyone offers to pray for me, I say yes. You know, as a priest, I get to pray and to bless people very regularly. But it's a wonderful thing to also receive that gift of prayer. It was one of the things that Pope Francis really taught us on the very first moment that he stepped out there onto the balcony. And he asked the community that was gathered there in St. Peter's Square to pray for him. And he always would say that, you know, just to pray for me. He recognized that need to receive that prayer as well. We all need to receive the prayer of the community, to let others to also hold us and to sustain us in our prayers. So over this week, let's indeed prepare personally, communally, as we, like the disciples, gather in the temple to offer our hearts to God so that the Lord indeed can make us aware of our need. He can fill us with His love and the desire to receive the gift of His Holy Spirit as we celebrate Pentecost next week.